you remember everything that you learned, yeah, you're going to learn it again. But you're going to learn it different. And you're going to find out that, oh, yeah, you still got more work to do. And you always got more work to do on yourself.
Welcome to It's the Human Experience Podcast. Hosted by Hazel Brown, a healthcare leader, wife, mom, and career coach. If you're big on authenticity, personal development, perseverance, and transparency, you're in the right place. Get ready to be uplifted, inspired, and empowered as you become fearless in pursuit of the life you desire and deserve. Our goal is to help you level up by creating a safe space to learn and reflect while listening to transparent stories from our host or successful professionals and business owners who've agreed to share the parts of success that typically gets X'd out on social media. Because that's the part you need to see and hear. The process. Go ahead and subscribe. You don't want to miss out on these transparent stories and discussions that reveal highs, lows, aha moments, and nuggets that'll help you to grow and glow.
Hey, 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 you are now tuned in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. Today, I have Coach Chris Rodriguez with me. We are talking all things authenticity. We're going to talk about life's journey into really finding yourself and owning your soul and getting to the next level in terms of becoming what you were put here to become and just owning your authentic self. So welcome, Chris. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we're connecting for real. And not just on social media.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I don't skip a beat. So we're going to dive right in. And I just want to help the audience know more about you. Who is Chris?
All right, Chris. I think the best way for people to get a picture of me is just my current roles and maybe even some words that kind of describe me. So I'm a new dad. I think that is a big piece that has consumed my world in the best ways possible. Husband, I am a coach. I call myself a soul life coach. So I help people get to the soul, the core, the essence of who they are in their work, relationships, and every area of their life. Me as a person, I would describe myself as a creative and artist, loving to express myself in art and loving to push people towards expressing themselves in all the areas of their life in more artful ways.
Yeah, I love that. I think that there's so much truth that we find out about ourselves in terms of expressing yourself through art, whether it's like drawing, journaling, dancing, photography, like whatever that looks like for you, playing an instrument. And so I love that. I think that even when I see you on social media, just dancing, even though I'm not a dancer, I wasn't gifted, unfortunately, it's still so refreshing to see you in your element and just being true to yourself and the freeing piece of that aspect of things. So I love that for you.
Yeah. You know, it's hard when you move through the world in context where, you know, I've been in the corporate wellness space for a while. So going into tech companies and universities and these places that aren't necessarily playful, places that you would identify with as artful, right? About the bottom line. And having to decide in my own self that I'm not going to hide that part of me, but I'm going to bring that part up to the forefront. And actually, that's what's going to help me maneuver through these spaces more authentically, more as myself. And that's actually what people need, is for me to not hide that part of me, but actually bring it up in the forefront and actually you let it be some of the materials that I use to build my life and build others.
Yeah, I love that. Because really, it's like owning your truth and not compartmentalizing parts of you, because the parts of you that you've done so much work to figure out, like who you are, and then you go and you hide it. And to your point, like that's what the world needs. Like that's what's going to resonate with people, is the parts of you that sometimes we try to suppress because we don't fit into the boxes. We don't fit into the labels. And it's like, well, you know, I'm going into this room, and I think because there are a group of leaders that have these accolades or to do these things, I need to follow that path. No, I need to let my light shine and own my truth, because that's what's going to help people feel like Chris belongs here, as opposed to when you show up as whoever else you decide to, and then wonder why they don't like you. Like, if you're not going to like me, I want you to not like me because I'm being me, not because I'm pretending to be someone else. So I love that.
Oh, yeah. And even to your point on that, me showing up as me, not trying to be somebody else, and people saying, okay, you belong here. Well, what about those same people who have had to button it up, who have had to, you know, tie back the hair, you know, do all the mute themselves in these ways? And then I show up and I say, hey, I'm showing up full. I'm showing up as me, as my true soulful self. It also gives them permission, right? Oh, Chris can belong in this space just as he is, with some piercings, the little tats, you know, the hair and the art and all of these things. What about me? How can I show up in this meeting differently?
Yeah.
Right? How can I show up in these spaces differently? How can I show up maybe not as just the serious parent, but how can I be the playful parent? How can I be the friend that doesn't just always feel like I have to be one dimension of myself, but I can be all the parts of me in all of these spaces, and that doesn't take away from my belonging. It actually adds to it.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing that comes up and really resonates with me is early on in my career, I was working as in these different leadership roles, specifically a role as an administrator. I would often wear my hair straight. And it was just so much work, when I love putting in some tracks. I love putting in some braids. And so I showed up, and though I still looked fine and it was all good, I always loved doing my hair since I was young. It's what made me feel whole. While some people do their nails and do all the things, that's not fulfilling to me. And I started to realize, like, no, honey, leadership or not, you're going to show up with your braids. You're going to make sure that you feel whole and good in your truths. And it wasn't until I started doing little things like that, that I started feeling good about being in those rooms. Like, what's the point of being in rooms that you're at the table, right? You're finally at the table, but you're not you at the table. Like, that took so much for me to realize the reason why you still don't feel good, even though you're at the table, because you're not showing up as you. You're checking off boxes, trying to be cookie cutter. And it wasn't until I removed the veil and like, this is how Hazel likes her hair done at certain points, that I started to feel like, whoa, I'm not holding back a part of me, and I was able to shine brighter. So I completely understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so much comes up for me when you say that. I think about, you know, going to this table. One question that I ask some of my clients is, when we're trying to work with this piece of authenticity and just kind of rediscovery, I say, imagine you're sitting at a table, you know, for tea or coffee, and it's you right now, you 10 years from now, maybe the 4-year-old version of you, maybe the 14-year-old version of you, and y'all are all sitting at this table together. What's the wisdom that each one would have, right, at this different point in life, right? And going back to the little 4-year-old version, there is something that is in us, and I call it your inner soul child, or your childlike self, that at points in our life we lose because we have these experiences that say, hey, it's not safe to be that anymore, right? And one of those aspects, I mean, I think about when I go back and I think about the styles and the things that I used to love, you know, in hip hop culture, they call it flavor, right? This piece of the uniqueness that I bring that nobody else brings. It's in the way I talk. It's in my swagger. It's in the way I dress. It's in the way I just am and show up in the world. And so many times we mute that flavor of ourself. And what I found is that when we go back and they like, well, what did I used to like back then? Sometimes it's the music choices I used to listen to. Like, oh, who's that artist? Right. When I first fell in love with music that I used to love. Who's that athlete? What was the thing about them? The way I would dress, the styles and all those things. What was it about that thing that I don't know that I loved? Right. And play as an adult, playing with those ideas, going back and just kind of doing some mind mapping and some rediscovery of that, pulling that back into my current remembrance and practices. What I found is for me and for some of my clients that when we invite the childlike self back, we go through our adult life less childish. Right? Less of the lacking joy, less of the rigidity, right? There's a little bit more flow. There's a little bit more curiosity, right? When we go back and discover that part of ourselves. But to your point, going back to something as simple as like, this is what I've always loved to do with my hair. Why am I muting that? Who told me that that was not okay?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that even when you talk about like going back to your 14-year-old self and doing that inner child work and going back to what you liked in terms of music, I often hear people say, and just working with different clients to your point, asking what does happiness and fulfillment look like for them? Mm-hmm. And as an adult, I hear adults say, I have no idea. And so that's why the work that you talk about is so important. Because to your point, it could be turning on music. It could be lighting a candle. It could be writing. It's like really figuring out like what sits well with you so that you can feel fulfilled and you can show up in the world as a better person. And so I love that you brought that up, because identifying it in different stages, the way you broke it down, not just simply saying the term inner child, but saying you're sitting at a table having tea with your 4-year-old self. And their perspective on life is different than the 14-year-old self, than the 24-year-old self. And really getting real about where we are now in terms of giving yourself validation and figuring out why you have these triggers, these traumas, and these patterns. And I think the way that you put it together in terms of bringing different portions of you to the table, like that's where the real healing and work really happens. So I love that. Thanks for sharing it.
Man, it's one part of when we're talking about this table, right? One part of that is the permission givers in our life, right? Because we can muster up, we can try to muster up the courage and the confidence within ourselves, but there are people in our life, some of them we've met, someone we've never met, but maybe we've engaged with their work, right? I think of a permission giver for me is Maya Angelou, right? Brene Brown, Bruce Lee, John Lewis. These are people who, when I interact with their work, when I interact with what they've done, Stevie Wonder, right? I feel a sense in myself that, oh, I've seen this. I can mirror this. I could belong here. Yeah. Right. So the showing up to the table with all the parts of yourself, you know, who's the people that have modeled and mirrored that? And many times there's people in our lives that have modeled the opposite of that. So we have to go out. You know, the whole hero's journey, we got to go and find the mentor, right? And sometimes they're physical people like like one of our coaches and mentors, right? Courtney Saunders or Shawana. But sometimes they're the people in history, the people in literature, right? So finding those permission givers in our life to sit at the table and embodying that and then being that for the people in our world, the people in our life, our clients, our family. I think about my son, like I want to be the permission giver for him to show up as his soulful self and never feel like he has to put on the mask.
I love that. And congratulations for your son. I definitely didn't want to skip over that. Let's talk a little bit about fatherhood. Like, what does that look like for you? What were your thoughts about it prior to? And like, what are you loving and owning? Such a loaded question.
Yeah. So fatherhood, it is this loaded bag, but you know, overall, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. And prior to this, I have conversations with my friends, like, so that I've been married with my wife, you know, we've been together for over a decade, never had kids, never felt like it was the right time, but I've always had a love for kids, so much so that when I'm going out, when I'm sitting, eating somewhere with friends, and there's a baby at the other table, I say, hey, I just want to let y'all know that I'm not really paying attention to y'all anymore. I'm going to be enamored by that baby and I'm going to be making faces and interacting and all that. I've always had that in me. But then this fear of, oh my goodness, but like, what if I like ruin a human being? Right. Because I meet so many, wounded people who are adults. It's like, oh, What happened, right? So there was that. And everybody always says, you know, it's never going to be the perfect time. And this is true. We got closer to, you know, to that right time. But I can't say that it's everything that I imagined it to be. I honestly don't think I've had an imagination for how beautiful it is. And I was describing this to some of my brothers, I'm a part of a, Black men's mental health community and we do yoga and other things, but it was my first time back in class and they're like, hey, what's it like? You know, similar question. I was like, you know, there's not many relationships in my life where I feel like I can be my fullest, truest self. And not only do I get to be that, but it's required that the silliness, the quirkiness, the little bit of, you know, I went to school for music, right? So singing to my son, like that is like one of his favorite things in the world. Right. At least that's how he acts. Like I think it is. Right. It's just visibly responsive. And I'm just learning so much about even my own self. Mm-hmm. Like again, like back to this whole thing of permission givers. I thought I was going to be the one that was just giving my son permission to be him, but he's giving me permission to be me. And he's asking it of me. He's telling me like, hey, this is who I need you to be. This is who I love you to be. And he doesn't have words yet. He's 3 months, but through his relaxed self, through his happy, cheerful self, this is what he's communicating to me.
Yeah.
So it's a new lesson.
Yes, new lessons, new blessings. Listen, I love that because I completely understand and relate to the fear of messing a whole human up.
Yeah.
I used to always say I didn't want kids. And then my husband came along and he's like, I want a whole football field of kids. And I'm like, I need you to go find someone else because it's not going to come from me. And And my oldest will be 16 in November. And I can't believe it. Like, to your point, it's so hard to put into words, specifically like when my daughters, my twin, I have 11-year-old twins, one boy and one girl. And when my 11-year-old and my soon to be 16-year-old comes together and like will wake me up in the morning on a Saturday when they've dressed up, it's their glow up day, to where they can feel themselves, wear what they want, do what they want, and they don't have to be structured into the way of dressing for school. And I look at them and I'm like, oh my God, I created these humans. It's such a surreal feeling. And to your point, it requires you to show up as yourself, because that table that you talked about in terms of showing up as your 14-year-old self, 4-year-old self, 20-year-old self, I have to tap into that table often to remind myself what it feels like to be 11, to be 15. And while I'm trying to support and fill their cup, I have to make sure that while I'm trying to help them navigate life, I'm also trying to share with them my struggles so they don't feel alone, to where they feel like I'm talking at them, but they feel like, wow, mom understands because she's been there. So really explain the why, just like we would at work, just like we do with our clients. Right. Like, it requires something different. And I definitely enjoy the teenage years more than the child years, where my husband, to your point, like, he is definitely the kind of father. I tell him he was born to be a dad. Like, he is an amazing father. And so now we've shifted gears to where he's confused in these teenage years. And I'm like, I'm loving it here. I'm glad we're over that part.
I love it. I'm watching him even now, and I'm like, he's got a little bit of me. He's got a little bit of mommy in him. The stubbornness of us, right? And the way it comes out, I'm like, I'm in trouble. he's a teenager. I'm gonna be like, who'd you get that from? And he's gonna look up at me like, you did that. That's you. Right. But, you know, yeah. Jokes aside, I'm excited about that too. And yeah. one of the things is, it's this fine line of, right, I don't want to live vicariously through my son. And I also don't want to overcorrect, in the sense of, you know, when we have like wounded relationships with our parents or a parent, right? We start making these promises. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. And then we get so rigid in a different direction. And we swing to the opposite side, right? And do some wounding, do some damage, maybe on the other side of things, right? So I want to guard him from the pitfalls, right? Set him up in ways that maybe I wasn't. But at the same time, figure out a safe space for him to grow and learn and be curious and learn from hard knocks, right?
Yeah, that's an amazing like reflection in terms of being able to realizing what that child needs, as opposed to like what you needed, right? And I think that that's something I absolutely had to overcome as a parent, specifically with my soon to be 16-year-old. I would always pour into her to try to give her the things that I wish I had. And then it was a gut punch, essentially, that she provided to me, letting me know I am not you. And my sarcastic, cynical person that I can absolutely be sometimes, in my mind, I'm like, that's so clear. And then it was like an aha moment, like, wait, what she's saying is the way that you're showing up for me is not the way that I need you to show up for me. I need something different. And then I had to start to realize, like, okay, let's look at her skills. Let's look at her needs. Let's see what's going on here. Because I've always been a driven overachiever that just goes after what I want, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't even realize that people were equipped in a way that was different than the way that I was equipped, right? Wow. So for me, it was kind of like, we all have the same engine. We all have the same parts. we make choices in how we show up. And so it's more like you're choosing to show up in a way that's not the way that my brain is equipped to be. And I was like, wait, hold on. No, we're all different, actually. We just come off as being the same on the outside. And I was like, to your point of her kids teaching you, like she taught me to look at life differently in the sense of we are all unique. We all bring different things to the table. And it's so important to identify that from an early age, because then you can build on their strengths. So I was definitely better as a parent with my twins, right? Because my oldest had nicely told me about myself. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? That sounds so humbling, right? Because we get into our romantic relationships, right? And we think, oh, I got into this relationship with this different person. We had to work through some things. We did. I'm good. Surely that has equipped me to be your parent, right? And then it's like, nope. You remember everything that you learned? Yeah, you're going to learn it again. But you're going to learn it different. And you're going to find out that, oh, yeah, you still got more work to do. And you always got more work to do on yourself. And what else comes up for me in that is, you know, what I hear you saying is like this acknowledgement of like this ecosystem of relationships, right? If I had all the answers and my clients had none, if I had all the answers, my wife, my kids, you know, my coworkers, when I'm working with people, if they had none of the answers and I just had all of them, then what are we doing here? Right. So growth becomes about an ecosystem, right? Just like a forest, right? The tree nests, the birds, right? The fruit falls. Something eats that fruit, right? The soil, the rain, everything, it works together for the growth of everyone. And, you know, in my practice, and I'll say my framework, I call it the Soulful to You framework. One of the last components of it is what I call finding your true tribe. Mm-hmm. And different than going off into our factions in a, you know, tribalism, different than finding fun friends, but the human beings around you that form you, that there's give and take, and that there's this mutual responsibility that, I'm here for your growth and you're here for mine. And not just in the words we say, but in the way we just know how to be with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many times as adults, we forget that children have a place of value beyond just being the person we nurture up. But actually they have wisdom inside of them. And even going back to this idea of the inner soul child, like, maybe the way that you connect with that is like paying attention to the way your children show up in the world. And maybe you can find a part of yourself that you lost.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, and I think that's so important what you're talking about in terms of really being honoring of yourself, but also honoring your child's truth as well is really key as we talk about being parents, as we talk about being friends, as we talk about being in relations with our partners. Like all of those things are so important that we honor ourselves, but we allow them to be their selves. And to your point about like reciprocating, like pouring and making sure that we're filling each other's cup and understanding like that is a requirement. When we think about our tribe, it is not simply to your point, like we're not there just to build a circle to have fun. Like we want to make sure that we're tapping into our purpose. And sometimes our purpose is aligned to fun, but it's so much bigger than that in terms of honoring your truth. So I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you, so you've kind of gotten to the point in life where, you know, you're married, you have your son, you have your practice, you have your podcast. What has been like some things in life in terms of myths, right? Or limiting beliefs that you've had to overcome to get to a place that you can honor your authentic self?
There's a few, and I would say two, maybe three that really come up for me. One is that you have to leave behind all the old materials to build your future, to build the new you, right? I think culturally we're so averse to pain. You know, I want to be positive, and that's in a lot of ways, that's why people bring me around, right? To be a positive inspiration, all those kind of pieces. And at the same time, reckoning with pain, going back and remembering the old stories of hurt, remembering where we were. And some of the lessons that we learned in the trenches, that's all a part of this thing, this life, we're trying to build, right? So everything belongs. The things that we let go are actually the beliefs that, that everything doesn't belong, right? That's the thing that doesn't belong there, right? So that's a big one. Another one is this idea that the only type of knowledge is the type of knowledge that comes from your head, that comes from data, that comes from knowing from the top, but a rejection of the wisdom that comes from maybe the gut feelings that you have inside of you. Maybe the emotional responses that you have. Maybe that, I don't know what it is about that person, but there's something off. And they're not saying anything wrong. They haven't done anything to harm me, but there's a vibe that I just don't trust. And maybe I'm discerning something, right? So wisdom, not just being isolated to the head, or what we call in the mental health space, top down knowledge, but that we can also engage with bottom up knowledge, wisdom, right? And the last thing is more like a professional thing. And it's literally something that someone said to me when I decided to make a jump, switch careers from something that was more practical to something that was more me and more soulful. I was working as a banker, doing personal banking, after school. Again, I went to college for music, didn't become a, you know, this, recording artist or anything. I did restaurant management. Did personal banking. And my wife, she's a nurse, and she was like, I want to do travel nursing. And I was like, well, I hate this job, so let's do it. And I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to tap back into dance. I'm going to tap into fitness, and, you know, which eventually pivoted me into life coaching. And I told my manager, she was really supportive. We were going to travel from the Midwest to, you know, to the West Coast. And, she was really supportive. She was like, it's going to be great for you. And, you know, just taking every moment. Her boss came in, the area manager who runs all the banks. And, she said, I heard you leaving. And she said, and here's the myth. She said, you know, that's not going to do anything for your resume, right? She literally said that to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it became this thing in me of like, oh, I'm going to show her. Right. not knowing that she didn't know that, that did incredible things for my resume. I've taught at Stanford University to business deans and provosts and doctors. I've taught at Google and EA and Palo Alto Networks and all of these incredible companies. I've worked with the Stanford women's rowing team. And one day I was going back to Tulsa to visit family, and I was actually depositing my check from the bank account that I had at that bank I used to work at to my new bank. And I walk in and I look in the office. I like kind of have to like rub my eyes because the branch manager is this former area sales manager from this bank that told me, you know, this isn't going to do anything for your resume, right? So I stop in her office and we're talking, and she's just like, how is it out there? And I tell her everything I'm doing, like, yeah, corporate wellness. Yeah. She's like, oh my goodness. So good that you got out of here. So good that you left that bank job. Right. So I think, you know, in the myth is like people put their fears on you. Right. And sometimes it's very good intention. Sometimes it's loving. Sometimes it's kind. But sometimes it's not what you need and it's not where you are. So, yeah, you can't let other people's fears and their wounds in their own life be superimposed on you and guide the way you live and the way you move through the world.
I love that. I think that what you just shared embodies so much and pulls together so much of what you discussed, like really being able to not have that top down approach to where you're just thinking rationally in your head, but knowing how to figure out who you are authentically so that when your intuition and your gut is speaking to you, you know what direction to take to where you can clearly say, watch me work. And right. To that point, because people have their own healing journey that they need to go on, not everyone goes on it, right? Not everyone decides to get in that car. And so that person hasn't necessarily done their healing journey to where they're giving you advice. But I think it's very important to make sure that the advice that you take is from someone that you would want to walk in their shoes any day of the week. And they have the accolades and skills that you would love to have one day. If they don't live the kind of lifestyle that you're looking to live, if they don't have the values that you have, then you really have to learn how to turn off the opinions of others. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like in that moment, you looked and you knew that your thoughts of what you were doing was coming from self and knowing that you're making the right decisions from your gut. So it was kind of like, I'm going to show you. And then the full circle moment of being able to go back and then see them in the same spot was like,
what? I know. And not even in the same spot. Like it was more important for her to get out of that organization, to take a demotion, to go to another organization. Right. It's when I think about this idea of happiness, but also joy. Right. You know, I describe joy as happiness without the hangover. Right. This idea of, you know, I want happiness in my life, but I know that every moment I'm not going to be happy. Right. But joy, even in difficult moments, I can still have a underlying sense of joy. Right. I think sometimes people, when they kind of superimpose their fear on you, it's out of the wounds of maybe I'm not happy in this moment right here, or maybe I don't have joy in this moment, in this place I'm in, but I don't know how to get it. And I've tried to get it. I've tried to be that. I've tried to embody that, and it didn't work. So stay here where it's safe. At least you get little sprinkles of it here and there, right? But don't go out there, where, you know, you can get everything taken from you. right? Metaphorically, right? Yeah. And yeah, so the wounds that make us want to stay safe and make us even feel like this thing that is not the most amazing thing in my life, this relationship that is not the most amazing thing in my life, these experiences that just, you know, they're all right. I can't imagine anything beyond this because there's a fear that I can, that I'll get hurt again, that something will be taken from me. And we don't question like, hey, like maybe this safety of a person that you are always in conflict with, but at least you know what the conflict's going to be about. Maybe that safety isn't necessarily soulful. Maybe that isn't what's best, right? So I'll digress.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Because if anyone that's listening was trying to make a decision and whether coming out your comfort zone could lead you to a road of fulfillment, like Chris just broke it down and shared, come out of your comfort zone, but make sure that you've tapped into your authentic self first, because life and staying in a box that society has set up for you doesn't create that fulfillment, that joy, and that feeling of purpose in the way that you want it to. So if we had a textbook definition where life happens outside of your comfort zone, like I would just put you right there next to it. Listen, I love that. Where can the listeners find you? We talked about too much and so much good gems and value that I want to make sure that they're able to find you online.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, just thank you for opening the space to have this conversation. We don't really talk, and it just felt so good and so natural to just vibe with you and just go back and forth. So I appreciate it. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and now Threads, because that's a thing, at coach_Chris Rodriguez. You can find me on my at my website, CoachChrisRodriguez.com. There you can find my podcast, the Soulfully You podcast, which is available on all streaming platforms. You can find articles that I write. You can find some free offerings that I have for you. And also, if you're looking for somebody to work with to rediscover your authentic and more soulful self, go ahead and book a discovery call with me. I would love to help you just show up more as yourself in your work, your relationships, and in every area of your life.
Yeah, definitely reach out to Chris. Listen, finding people who are truly here to pour into the life of others is not as easy as it seems when you're on your self-reflection journey. And so definitely go ahead and follow Chris and reach out to him if you are looking to rediscover yourself and really tap into like the true version of yourself. Listen, if you're not already following the podcast, I need you to scroll up to the top. If you're listening from Apple, and follow us. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. Like Chris, I'm on all podcast streaming platforms. So please be sure to go ahead and follow, rate us, and subscribe. I know you got gems from this conversation. So go ahead and leave a comment below so that I can hear your greatest takeaways, so that I can make sure I keep bringing on awesome guests like Chris. Thanks. And as always, make sure that you are pouring into your authentic self. You're growing and glowing and becoming the best version of yourself.
We hope you caught all those gems. So here for all of it. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a gem. Write a review so that we know to keep bringing you episodes like this. And check us out online at itsthehumanexperience.com to keep up with us. Keep growing and glowing. Catch you on the next episode.